Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. Pat the designer, a very tan Jason McKee in the building. He's back off of vacay. Hope he had a phenomenal time. Got to hear about the vacay. Also, got to talk about Bears roster rankings. PFF has been showing love all offseason, and now we kind of suck. I don't know about that one. I don't know if I'm vibing with that one. Got to talk about that and then get J-Mac's thoughts. We had the conversation with Courtney on the changes that are going to be made to OTAs yesterday on the show. Want to get the player perspective on that, how Jason thinks that things could change up from a player perspective. Does he like it or not? All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do, man. J-Mac, my guy, you are looking refreshed, brother. You look like you had a well-lived vacation.
Yeah, it was a good time, man. A good opportunity to fellowship with a lot of my teammates from college. And we do a trip once a year, so it's good to go out and we're into Costa Rica, got an opportunity to go out and do some excursions, snorkeling, ATVing. I mean, we did everything that you could do, man. It was fun. But that's the bonds that's created through the game of football, you know, and whether it's high school, college, or pros, like, there's bonds that'll last a lifetime. You know, a lot of my Bears teammates was in my wedding. I was in their weddings. Their kids, you know, I'm their uncle and vice versa. So, you know, that and you see each other's family grow up. You see each other grow as men, but you also see, you know, your family grow as well. And that's the bonds that's created, you know, just outside of being on the field, on the football field. It's created because you have those bonds and, you know, you're hanging out with each other off the field and it builds chemistry on the field, which leads to success. But it also helps, you build a family and, you know, you keep those long lasting relationships that you have for a long time. So, you know, that's what, you know, was involved in our trip. You know, a lot of my college buddies and stuff like that. So it was a good time, man. It's just football, just, you know, overall enhancing your experience at life.
Yeah. I mean, listen, did y'all see any stingrays while snorkeling? Because, you know, it's on site. I still got Steve back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, man. A lot of dolphins. We were out there. We saw some dolphins and a lot of fish and stuff like that. But, you know, thank God, no sharks. But it was a good time, man. The water was clear. It was hot, you know. It was hot. It was like 97.
You're still sweating, dog.
I was your complexion when I left. And you see how dark I am now. I'm almost as dark as my black shirt. It looks like I don't even have a beard because I'm so dark.
Hey, man.
Beard up? No, I'm just black.
You unlockable right now. You know what I mean? They got you. You unlocked character. You unlockable right now. That's all right. Man. The football hasn't stopped here. People have been losing their minds left and right over the Chicago Bears. And listen, it's always a good time when we get to break down our favorite team. And PFF trying to bring the mood down a little bit today. As PFF released their roster rankings. Now, I will say this. I was a little surprised as I read through this article on the roster rankings, because a lot of what we've seen from PFF, for lack of a better word, has been quite glazing for the Chicago Bears. You know what I mean? There's been a lot of love the Bears' way, especially with individual players, with ranking units of the team, right? We saw the wide receiver unit. I believe they had one of the top five wide receiver units in the NFL. Defensively, they believe they have the best DB unit in the NFL. They believe they have a top 10 linebacker unit in the NFL. So all of these things that we see.
Yeah.
They love Braxton Jones, which, you know, here in Chicago, we question that often. And then I go through this roster ranking, and I'm starting to go through teams. I'm going, okay, two Kansas City, maybe a little crazy, but I'm with it. Okay, number one, San Francisco. Three, all right, we got Philly. Okay, Philly's in the building. Four, Jets. Then I start get past 10, and I'm like, hold on now. Where the Bears at? You know what I mean? It's like when Shaq, when they did that, like, April Fool's prank on Shaq, of the top 20 centers, and Shaq wasn't on the list. Like, we got Bills 10. We got Miami 11. We got Cleveland 12. Hold on now. I got to start breathing now. We got Green Bay 13. Okay, maybe a little bit. Rams 14. Falcons 15. Now we're getting 16. 16 is Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
17, Seattle. 18, Tampa. 19 is in excuse me. 19, and this is why I know whoever does these rankings watches the show. 19 is the Jacksonville Jaguars. You son of and then coming in 20, your beloved Chicago Bears. I mean, I'm not sitting here, and I haven't been one to sit here and tell you this team is going to be overwhelmingly amazing. I'm not telling you they're a Super Bowl team, but I was a little surprised to see the Bears come in 20th on this list. When you hear some of the names that are ahead of Chicago, do you agree with kind of what they're saying? Of course, all of this is on paper. Do you agree with kind of where the Bears roster ranking is right now? Or do you feel like Bears have probably one of the better rosters in the NFL?
Yeah, on paper, right?
Air quotes on that for the listeners.
Yeah, the game's played on grass, you know what I mean? And here's the thing that, you know, I'm going to go into a little bit more depth before I actually break down the Bears position groups and break down their roster, right? When you look at it, there's one thing that you can't really project, right? And when you're ranking these rosters, right, you can't project how a player is going to develop throughout the offseason or if he's going to take a jump. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can, and all you have to do is you base it off of really what they did last year. You know what I'm saying? So some of these teams that's ranked ahead of the Bears, yeah, they made offseason moves, which may have elevated them ahead of the Bears. The Bears made a lot of good moves too. But here's the thing. We don't know how Braxton Jones is going to progress in the offseason, or is he going to regress? Is he going to get better, right? Is he going to enhance the weaknesses that he had throughout the season? Are those weaknesses going to continue to be weak, and the strengths that he had, are they going to deteriorate? Like, you can't determine those things, right? Tevin Jenkins, like, same thing. You know, is he going to get better, you know, or is he going to be available all season? You know, is he going to be healthy? Like, a lot of things you can't. It's all based off basically last year's projections and what you think these guys may do. So I think that's one thing that you can't measure is, you know, how these guys have developed. Like, Pro Football Focus can't see if Braxton Jones got stronger this offseason. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're not in the weight room. They're not seeing his testing numbers. You know what I mean? So that's one thing that you can't project. But what the one thing that I do know is, you know, going off of last year's projections, right? And, you know, kind of if you want to forecast, you know, what this Bears, I'll go to the Bears defense, what this defense can be, you look at what they did last year, you know, one of the top defenses, and they really took the next step when Montez Sweat came over. And I look at, you have blue chip players at every level of that defense. Defensive line, you have Montez Sweat. You know, them linebackers, you have TJ Edwards, Tremaine Edmonds. And then on the back end, you've got a Jalen Johnson who's leading the secondary. Then you got two young, great players, and you know, you've got Brisker and Gordon, and then you've got some, you know, good players that's going to be in their second year, like a Tyreek Stevenson and Terrell Smith. So I look at it and I say this, just on the defensive side of the ball, you got a defense who has those players, but also is going to be in a system under Coach Matt Eberflus for the third straight season. So not a lot of learning a scheme. It's just going to be more of really enhancing the scheme and those players developing and getting better. Right, we've heard things, you know, reports coming out of OTAs that Javon Dexter has came in leaner, really worked on his body. And that's something that we talked about, Pat, in the offseason, you know, last season. When Javon, last season, he didn't look like that three technique that they need in this 4-3 scheme. You know, you need a disruptor, a guy that's going to quick off the ball, be able to really, you know, put pressure, you know, on the quarterback in the passing game, but also is strong enough to play the run. And we saw him as more of a guy who was just – didn't have the quickness to get off the ball and didn't really – couldn't be a disruptor like you'd want him to be in the system. So when I look in this system, I look at a guy playing that three technique like a Tommy Harris. So you go back and you see, you know, Javon's worked on his body. He's gotten leaner because he knows he has to get quicker if he wants to be that three technique in this system. And that's something that we can't project right there. You know, will he take the next step? It's his second year in the system, but – now he's really enhanced his body to help him, you know, make those weaknesses that he had last year. You know, he's trying to turn those into strengths. And then we don't know who the other edge is going to be opposite Montez Sweat. You know what I'm saying? So those are some of the factors I'm talking about when you're ranking not just the Bears, but all these rosters, things that you can only go off projections from last year. And there's some things you can't see in terms of development. And you go to the offensive side of the ball, you look at that offensive line. Like I said, Braxton Jones, we don't know. You know, we don't know what the center is going to be like. We don't know Tevin Jenkins is going to be like. We don't know what Nate Davis is going to be. Is he going to take a next step? He's going to be healthy. He's going to be available. Like a lot of things you can't project. Darnell Wright, is he going to take the next step? Second year in the league, second, you know, new system. So the offense, you're already going to be behind because you're in another new system. But is the game going to slow down for Darnell Wright because he played an entire season? Is that confidence going to, you know, is he, what is he working on this offseason that we can't see? You know what I'm saying? And then from a receiver standpoint, you hit it on the head. We definitely got better in that aspect, bringing over, you know, Keenan Allen and drafting Romo Dunze, and you bring in Gerald Everett. But at the same time, now you got a rookie quarterback leading these guys. How was he going to develop?
Yeah.
So those are things that it's hard to, you know, you got to put projections somewhere. You got to rank these teams somewhere. But those are things that are left out when you're projecting teams on paper. And it all play out during the season. But that being said, I don't think there's 19 better rosters on paper that's better than the Bears when you look at player for player.
Yeah, and I think that's what to me kind of threw me off about this, because even some of the teams that are ahead of them, listen, I mean, like Jacksonville, okay, maybe you're throwing them up there because of what they were supposed to do on paper last year, but yeah. I didn't think that they got tremendously better this season. I didn't think that they were that much of a better team than the Bears heading into or coming out of last season. I'll give Tampa, I'll still put up there, Tampa playoff team. Seattle being at 17 for me, like what is this great jump that Seattle's going to take this year that they didn't take last season?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is not like it was Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to be the guy that gets them to the next level this season. Like that, there's a lot of issues that, and maybe they run the football a little bit more without Shane Waldron being there. And maybe that brings more of a balanced offense and that kind of puts things back in their favor. But as I started just going through the rankings, it was just kind of like, I really don't understand kind of your rhyme or reason for this. Even right, Pittsburgh being there, okay, Pittsburgh, I can deal with that. Because if Russ plays like Russ played in the second half of that last season, they're going to be a good football team. Right? And I think that projects out well, but it was tough for me with all the additions that the Bears made for me to find 20 rosters better than the Bears. Now, I'm not saying the Bears are top five. I'd say if you got the Bears around 13 to 15 range, I probably could agree with that, because realistically what everybody's big question mark is on the Bears is the left tackle.
Yep.
Who is a serviceable left tackle. I'm not saying he's horrible. Mm-hmm. I just think that that's a question mark for our offensive line. And the guy rushing opposite Montez Sweat. Okay. How much of a boost do you get if all of a sudden we sign Yannick Ngakoue? Is that make our defensive line worse? Is that a move that all of a sudden jumps us up 5-6 spots? Because they do have, as our biggest weakness heading into this season. Hold on, let me get back down to the Bears here. Mm-hmm. Our biggest weakness heading into this season, defensive line. The midseason addition of Montez Sweat was much needed, but the Bears defensive line still ranked last in the NFL in pass rusher grade in 2023. Given the dynamic offense in the NFC, offenses in the NFC North, that until that unit will need to find greater production, especially with the low blitz tendencies in Matt Eberflus's defense. Okay, so the offenses in the NFC North that dominated us: Green Bay in the first game.
Yeah, and the last game.
I mean, they still only put up.
I hate to admit it, but.
Well, but they still only put up 17 points, though.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, yes, they did put up a lot of yards. They were getting a ton of yards on us that day. I think Jordan Love threw for 330 or something like that. It was crazy, but it still resulted in 17 points.
But I think here's another thing, too, that I think, you know, that I failed to look at when talking about these roster rankings, right? That I think we haven't mentioned yet, right? You know, the depth, right? The depth. And it's a catch 22 because you're saying depth, right? Montez Sweat, who's behind Montez? You know what I'm saying?
Marcus Walker, who's real fast.
Who's the other end? We don't even know who the other end is. And then who's behind the other end?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but at the same
time, it's still hard because, like I said, it's all based off projections. Hell, training camp's going to start. There's going to be somebody, like there is every year, that we don't even know about that's going to make a splash and is going to be on this team. But then there's going to be somebody on this team who were expecting to make the team that won't be on the team. So it's like, are they just basing this off of projected starters, projected depth overall? That's what makes it so interesting, you know, to figure out how they're ranking this thing. Because when you look at the Bears' overall depth, yeah, we talked about the blue chip guys, the front end guys, but behind those guys, a lot of question marks. You know what I'm saying? Even the linebackers, right?
Yeah.
Jack Sanborn's got it and done some great things, right? But behind him, who is there? You know, a lot of unproven guys who, you know, haven't gotten opportunities. And, you know what you have in TJ and Tremaine. You know those guys are ballers. Jack has played well when he's got in. But other than that, you know, after that, you got guys that haven't gotten opportunity. You got guys that have only played special teams. So it's, you know, it's – you bring over Kevin Byard and I mean, yes, on paper, your projected starters, like it's solid. You know, third year in the system, you should pick up where you left off. But all these teams, right, you don't know how these guys are going to fit in a new system with the new guys they brought over. How does Kevin Byard fit in? You know, can he be better than Eddie Jackson in the system? Yeah, we hope so. He's cheaper, right? And we hope he can be better, but we don't know.
Right.
Same thing with Kansas City. They're ranked number two, but you brought in a lot of – you bring in – who do they bring? Hollywood Brown?
Rasheed Rice,
we don't know. He's up in the air. And granted, like, they're high because you got a quarterback that is an eraser, right? He can erase a lot of the deficiencies. He can erase a lot of the mistakes that you may have in terms of execution as an offense because he's that type of true generational player. We can actually tag him with that line because he's proven it, you know. And I think that's why they're high because he's overcome deficiencies and the lack of talent time and time again. And he always has Kansas City right there knocking on the door because of his ability as a quarterback and because they have one of the greatest coaches of all time that understands and knows how to get the most out of whatever roster that he's presented with. So I think, you know, you got to factor in a lot of those things.
Yeah. And they kind of protect themselves with this too. It's got their X factor right now for 2024 is Darnell Wright. So the young fella you draft last year, who's got to be great on the offensive line, and their rookie to watch is Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Right. So like, hey, We're saying that this guy is here, and this is why I say take everything, right, all of these articles, all these think pieces that are written in the offseason, all these podcasts that are coming out in the offseason, take all of them with a grain of salt because all of it is, I'm standing on this point to the nth degree unless this happens. The Bears are the 20th ranked roster. Unless Darnell Wright's good again and Caleb Williams is exactly what he's advertised as.
Yeah.
That's really kind of what they're saying with this stuff. And they did that with every team on there.
Right.
As Bears fans, I get a little uptight when you hear we got the 20th ranked roster in the NFL. I just don't believe that is the case for the Chicago Bears. I don't believe that they're that low of a roster. But it also does all depend on Caleb Williams being moderately good in his first year for you to achieve the things that we think this Bears team is supposed to achieve.
Yeah, and you look at it too, like I would, you know, it'd be interesting too is to, and I don't know if they'll do this, but it's, you're ranking the rosters, right? And then it's all about the coaches on how they're going to put this thing together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the most important coach this season for the Bears is not Matt Eberflus.
Shane Waldron.
Not even him. I think it's the quarterback. I'm going to say it's the quarterback coach.
Oh, Kerry Joseph.
Yes, because he's going to spend the most time with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
So he's going to be extremely vital in his development, right? Because he's going to, they're going to develop a personal relationship. They're going to develop a coach-player relationship. But it's Kerry Joseph's job to do everything possible, right, to make sure that Caleb's developing at a rapid rate. But to also, if things are going too fast for him, it's Kerry's job to communicate with Shane Waldron and say, we got to slow down. He's not picking this up. And Shane will be around a lot of the times, too, because he'll be in those meetings with Caleb and Kerry. But Kerry's going to be around around Caleb more than anybody.
It's almost double important, too, because if the Bears see a significant level of offensive success this season – Shane Waldron not going to be here next year. Shane Waldron going to be somebody head coach, which means who's going to be your next OC?
It could be
Kerry Joseph. Probably going to be Kerry Joseph.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? So it's like this thing is it's crazy, you know, and it's just a matter of how you put things together. Like, we've got so many, and it'd be interesting to see. I don't know if they've done it. I'm sure there's something out there, but, you know, let's rank the offseason moves. Yeah. And the Bears have made just as, I mean, they should be definitely high based upon what they did in free agency. You know,
yeah, I'd say they probably, I can't even think of another team. They probably won the offseason. Well, hold on. Houston dominated. Yeah, Houston got some dogs down there.
And they just resigned was it Nico Collins as well?
Nico Collins, yeah. He got 75 M's.
Man, they got they're trying to win right now. They said we got our quarterback. We can go spend money because we ain't got to pay our quarterback for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
So we're going after this thing right now with a quarterback that's shown you he can get a team to the playoffs. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be Houston's going to be in there. Where were they ranked on this list?
I want to say surprisingly low. Hold on, let me see.
Mm-hmm.
They always have it at the top. I'm sitting here doing it. Y'all ever do that where you trying to find a team and you doing the alphabet in your head?
and I don't
Houston was high. Houston was the seventh ranked seventh ranked roster. They do still. Now, see, that's tough for me, too. They still got them behind Detroit. They got them behind Baltimore. They have them behind the Jets and Philadelphia, Kansas City, and San Francisco are your top two.
Yeah. And that's interesting, too, because
I don't know.
I think that is in terms of, I think I'd have to really look at it, though. It's all speculation, but you really got to look at the depth as well. So when we're talking roster, right? We're talking entire roster.
Yeah.
I think when you look at the starters, then you look at the backups in terms of their experience, how many games played, how many games started, injury history. Like, if you're going to make a true roster ranking, you have to look at all of those things. You know what I'm saying? If there's a, you know, you've got, you know, this person starting. Well, who's behind Nico Collins, and how many, you know, starts does he have, and how many yards, career yards has he had, and how many catches does he have, and stuff like that. I think that's, you know, I'm sure Pro Football Focus does a great job. I'm sure they took all that into account as well.
It's interesting to me, like, when you go through these. Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Outside of, because I'm trying to think, was PFF, when did PFF get founded? You're probably out the league when PFF got founded already. But when they would come out with these lists and stuff like that, are y'all looking at any of these?
I don't recall ever looking at a list. you know, I that's just me personally. I can't say that for all my teammates. Like, when you're in it, and I know we're gonna get into off-season talk and all that stuff. Yeah. When you're in it, like, you don't have time to be distracted by other things. Like, you barely have time for your own family because you're in it. Like, it's nonstop. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's meetings, practice, you know, it's meetings, practice, film, travel, game, and rinse and repeat. And, you know, you're the less than 1% in the world. Like, you're one of the best in the world at doing your job.
Yeah.
And everything you do has got to be at a high level. So, you know, you're trying to make sure that, one, you're playing at a high level so that way you have a job and you're trying to make yourself irreplaceable, but you're also going out there and trying to make sure that you understand the game plan. Now, I'm making sure that I'm lifting so that my body's ready, you know, to withstand the rigors of a long season. You know, I've got to make sure that, you know, I understand my opponent. I got to be, you know, on my P's and Q's and make sure I go out there and perform at a high level. Because, you know, if you're not doing that, well, then you're doing your team a disservice, organization a disservice, and you're getting replaced. It's that quick.
Yeah.
So you don't have time to be, you know, the guys who are distracted or they're not consistent in their preparation or their performance of the guys that get replaced. And sometimes you can do all those things and you get replaced because of contract issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn. You know what I mean? But you always, whenever it, like I've always said on this podcast, and I say it over and over again, everything's a constant evaluation, man. I'm telling you, like a lot of these young players, and this is a message for these young players that's in OTAs right now, even when you're walking around the building, the way you're interacting with everybody, you know, interacting with just the cooks in the cafeteria, man. the way you talk to them, you know, everything's under evaluation, man. And, you know, these teams are like their businesses, and they're always trying to find a way to get better. And if they can find a way to get better cheaper, well, then they're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So that's just how this things work. That's how it works, man. That's the name of the game. And, you know, it's tough, but that's just how it is. So I say all that to say this, you can't be distracted. So I never had it. I never looked at lists. Some guys do. Some guys, you know, they read the tweets, they read the paper. You know, some guys that motivates them, you know, some guys it can have a negative effect on them. So I'm not going to say they aren't. I'm sure a lot of people are, but I personally never did.
You always hear those random moments of play. Like I know it was one game. I think Steph is a big guy like that. If he's having a bad game, he going to get on Twitter just to like piss himself off so they can come out and play better in the second half.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, he said he'll run in the locker room, he'll get on Twitter. Because you know Twitter just going to be, they got the memes coming for you. Now we got AI out here, dog. So all these lookalikes out there going crazy.
That's a good strategy, though. Like, I mean, hey, if you want to get motivated and, you know, have a bad game and go on there and look at the, you know, the fans, you know, rip you to shreds because you had a bad game where
You got to be strong-willed for that. I ain't going to lie to you. It'd be moments where – because Twitter is like elementary school kids. You know what I mean? Yeah. Elementary school kid. Remember joking with mums in elementary school, and they hit you with a joke that, like, hit you in your soul? Yeah. You'd be like, that ain't really a joke, bro. You'd be, hey, that's why your shoes ain't tied. That's why you ain't got no daddy. You'd be, dang,
A lot of your mama jokes led to fights and out-of-school suspension. Your mama, next thing you know, you're throwing fists. Boom, 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 boom. Desks moving, books knocked all over the place, milk spilled everywhere in the lunchroom. Like,
for the dumbest ones, too, be like, your mama fat, you get in a fight, and be like, what'd you fight him for? It's like, oh, you said my mama was fat. Your mama weighed 96 pounds, bro. Like, clearly you can see.
Right.
She not fat. Like, why did that get to you? you gotta have thick skin to go on X some of these days. You know what I mean? Like, you be... Dang, that was a good joke. Yeah. Let me go to the gym for 2 hours real quick. I'm getting all the fat jokes right now. I got to get back in the gym. I see y'all out there. Shout out to y'all trying to motivate me by fat shaming. I'm here for it. Let's keep this thing moving along. Appreciate y'all. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do, man. We talked about this yesterday a little bit with the NFLPA working to finalize proposal to overhaul the offseason workout program. For those of you that didn't get a chance to listen yesterday, the NFL Players Association is working to finalize a proposal to overhaul the offseason starting as soon as next season, eliminating voluntary on-field work in the spring in favor of a longer training camp ramp-up with players reporting in mid-June to early July, per sources. Of course, they have the aspect of it where you want to talk about, okay, how is this going to affect player injury? Tom Pelissero tweeted out yesterday, the NFLPA has consulted medical and performance experts to create a solution for reducing injuries and maximizing player recovery time. Under the potential proposal, virtual classroom work would still be permitted in the spring, but no practices until camp. Now, J-Mac, you come from an era where OTAs basically meant strap them up. Here we go. We about to start hitting each other.
We didn't really. I mean, you're going to get some collisions. You're not wearing shoulder pads. It's just helmet. You know what I mean?
But now it seems that they're trying to take away the midseason or the mid offseason, I should say, voluntary program to basically, I mean, when they say longer training camp, to me, training camp is not voluntary, but maybe it would still be a voluntary portion of training camp. Do you think that this would be a benefit to play on the field, or do you think that this is just another situation where, you know, you're kind of trying to just move things around to, I mean, to me, this sets up for an 18-game season. Me and Corey talked about that yesterday, where you're just trying to, like, own football for the duration of July all the way until February.
Here's the thing that I take away from this, right? And I see the NFLPA, you know, always trying to find ways to protect the players, protect them from injuries, protect them from being overworked. I get it, you know, but I think the one thing I think is definitely going to help him in that aspect. But here's the thing. I think that, you know, you lose in terms of a team or building a team or building a culture. You lose the fellowship. You lose the time to bond and the chemistry, because right now these guys are OTAs are going out there. So phase one, you know, you're mainly watching film. Phase two, you're just doing individual drills. And phase three, you're actually going out there. You're running team. You're running a 7-on-7 period. And you're still doing it. So it's like a broken down mini practice, right? But after that, you have the guys are all in town. But after that, they go and do things together. You know what I'm saying? Like, so they're going out to eat. They're going to play golf and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to hang out. You know, I had the opportunity to hang out with Kyrie Blasingame before I went on vacation on two occasions. You know, it gives me time to build bonds with these guys before the season even starts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I think that's what you miss. And you also miss, you know, time of necessarily having your rookies come in early, because if you only have that one mini camp and then you have a longer training camp and ramp up, well, you're not going to have an opportunity for Caleb Williams to build a bond with his new receivers. Yeah, they may go out to California and USC and do it on the field, but you're not going to have a chance to do that with Shane Waldron, with Kerry Joseph. You know what I'm saying? At your facility where you're seeing them, you're trying to implement your scheme. And it's one thing to implement it, you know, on a Zoom call or whatever type of call they use, but it's one thing to be able to implement it in your own classroom, your own meeting room, and then go out there on your own practice field and perform, you know, the same things that you installed. So you lose that. So in terms of, longer camp, but I think it's you lose that bonding and that chemistry that you need to really develop a team other than just the X's and O's.
Wouldn't you be able to do that? And this is just me playing devil's advocate. I don't know if I'm not in favor of it. I feel like you're when you talk about this situation, which I think leads into the 18 game situation, it's always very hypocritical when I then see, but this is how it helps player safety. It's like, oh, you mean 7 months straight of football is exactly right, what the players are looking for. You know?
Right. Like you're going to ramp up and then you're going to ramp up. So you're going to do a 2-3 week OTA
ramp up.
You know what I mean? And then go into a long training camp, then go into a preseason, then go into a long season. Like,
yeah.
So I think, you know, the way you do it now,
that may be getting longer.
Exactly. So instead of them having a 6 week break before training camp after the off season, like,
right.
So they have the off season program, 6 weeks off, and then camp, preseason, and then the season.
Yep.
So I don't know, man. It's so hard to, you know, I get it, but then it's like, I mean, man, like you said, that is a lot to put on players.
So it's a lot at once. And I think that was my biggest takeaway from this. The player safety aspect of it, like I just said, it is what it is. Like they're going to try their best, but the NFL is going to do what the NFL is going to do. But on the flip side of all of it, I think that the turnaround to getting your body back right is going to be a little bit more difficult because – And I'll ask you this. This was the question I had. I've seen it where guys have taken too long off of football and they don't come back the same.
Is
that time in the middle too long? Because you're talking about, let's say you make the Super Bowl. You're finishing your season next year, February 28th, something like that. If they were to implement this, right? You're finishing, or 25th, something like that. You're finishing your season pretty much right at the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, March, April, May, June, July. 5 straight months off. Is that too long to go without dealing with the contact that football brings?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is a long time. I think it's a long time to be away from, you know, your team, your teammates. I'm not saying that you're going to be away from all of them. You know, you're going to be away from some of them, not all of them.
Because
you're going to be doing stuff. But I do think it's a long time off. On the flip side, I think the players would like it because a lot of these guys have their own specialized trainers, their own specialized, you know, receivers coaches, their own specialized running back coaches, their own specialized training facilities that they like to go to. You know what I mean? And that's why you see a lot of guys not at OTA because they want to do things how they've been doing it. They feel like, you know, not saying that they're, you know, they're respective off-season program isn't good. They're just used to being with their trainer, and they like the results they've gotten with their trainer or their own performance training center or wherever they're training at. So it's, you know, guys are going to work, but then there's some guys, you know, some of my teammates who would be like, hey, you know what? I'm not doing anything once the season's over until we report to off-season workouts. I'm taking a break, letting my body heal up. Like it was said last year, DJ Moore said he doesn't even run routes in the off-season leading up until, because you're doing it from training camp, you're doing it. Once you get back to Hallis, you're doing it. You know, you're doing it in OTAs and mini camp and then, you know, throughout the season. So he said he gives his body a break. So I get it. I just think, like, I like the point that you made, having it go from an extended training camp ramp up to training camp and then to preseason to season. That, I think that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And I'm just going off of what Yurko always talked about, right? He said you report to OTAs, you kind of get that first little bit. And then he from a different era of football. So he talks about this in a sense of, you know, you're hitting and stuff like that. And he's like, you get that little bit of callus going and you get a little time off. You work out the callus. You figure out, okay, this is how what that pain feels like. Let's get our body back into it. You report to training camp. You go through all of that at training camp. You get your body right. You play in preseason. You're ready to go for the season. I wonder if we're taking take some time away too far because, I mean, listen, we've seen it when guys have taken off. You know, and now usually dealing with injury and stuff like that, where you lose 5 months of a season or something like that, you lose an extended time, and then they come back, and it's like it take you a long time to kind of get back into that, kind of get yourself back going.
And here's the thing, right? When you look at it, like for me, watching training camp last year, is it really different from an OTA? They're not even wearing pads. Like, come on, man. Like, how many times did they wear pads last year? 3 times?
I think we had full pads is different. Yeah, I think three times.
To go from Yurko, you know, they were hitting back then. We didn't even like have shoulder. I don't recall us having shoulder pads in OTAs.
Yeah.
It was helmet and jersey. So and yeah, you're gonna get some collisions, you know, receiver and DBs fighting for the ball, or you know, if we're you know, in a run period and I'm running up in there and you know, me and Lance, we're not going to collide, but we may bump into each other. You know what I mean? Not trying to. We're trying to keep each other healthy, but stuff's going to happen. There's going to be guys on the ground. You know, it's going to happen. But in terms of, like, contact where you're wearing full pads, like, that's not even happening in training camp. So, you see what I'm saying? Like, training camp.
So you saying it don't change much. It is what it is. You get the off time. You get the outside.
The whole thing's a ramp up, honestly. Like, you're talking about. I
say this. If you had gone to OTAs last week, now listen, it was 45 minutes of
You were there. I wasn't there.
Little dink and dime, nothing. But I say the last 20 minutes of practice was probably it's the most physical practice I've seen, and it was OTAs. So man, I got a little bit of hope this season.
Yeah,
I got not much.
Easy using that word intense though. Because intense in terms of guys competing in shorts, not intense in terms of guys, you know, being physical with pads. And it's OTAs, I get it, but I'm saying this. Okay, let's transition to training camp, like the ramp up and all that stuff. Like it's you're in OTAs. Okay, let's take it away. We're ramping up. Like it's almost the same thing. You're just pushing OTAs right before training camp because you see what I'm saying? Like the ramp up, even in camp, you still have a ramp up period. Like you don't come out the first day and wear shoulder pads. No. Like we used to go, it usually was like 3 days and you know, your helmet and jersey. And then like the fourth day, your helmet, shoulder pads, and then that's it. Boom. You're in pads the rest of the camp, unless coach threw you a bone. And you know, you have some days where you're just in jerseys. But hell, our guys were in jerseys and helmets pretty much the whole camp last year.
Hey man, let's hope it's a little bit more intense this year. I left with a positive feeling watching the defense cook on what was that last Thursday? Actually, I think somebody did get hit on accident. Everybody was very upset about it.
You're gonna get hit.
I think there was a random. They want to say Tyreek came over the middle and might have got DeAndre, and everybody was oh, not DeAndre making $7 million. So you know why they're screaming.
What are you doing? Stay off the ground. The collision already happened. I'm the same way at our summer camp. Like, I'm like, man, hey, look here, man. We don't have a lot of kids. We got to stay off the ground. Stop falling, tripping over your own feet. You know, that's how guys get hurt. So,
yeah,
you know, I get it. I don't know, man.
Does this seem like a meaningless change to you, or do you think that it'll have an effect on the actual game when you get the real game?
But the thing is, right, they're trying to stop injuries. So, like, you know, even minor injuries, hamstring pulls, this and that. Like, realistically, like, if you, the way they have it now, right, you get that 6 weeks off and then you're back at training camp. So now your body's got to try to get jump started again.
Right.
I don't think that's going to negate the soft tissue injuries or the hamstring pulls that guys are having.
Right.
I think that will come about even if you have that 6 week break, because now it's a longer training camp. So the longer you're putting stress on your body, the higher chance you have of injury. You see what I'm saying? So I just think either way, I think you're going to have those issues. Those things are going to happen. It's a part of sports. It's a part of the game.
And that also goes into what you're doing during those 6 weeks, right? Usually see, I mean, we saw, and I'm not saying the guys aren't working on their bodies and stuff like that during the offseason, but like a lot of the guys that we've seen deal with those long-term hamstring injuries and stuff like that, like it's usually the ones that you go, okay, well, what's he eating? What's he doing to take care of himself? How's he preparing himself for the day? Usually we see a lot of them hamstring days pop up when it's 95 degrees outside and maybe you didn't hydrate enough the night before.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's you know, times are changing, trying to make things better for the player, but the proposal, is it really better for the player?
This one felt, all me and Courtney said this yesterday, it just feels like, okay, this is something that we're going to give you that you want for some reason, because we're going to take 18 games.
Yeah.
You're going to be playing 18 games in the next coming couple seasons.
Right. So. Imagine that, Pat. Like you said, you're going ramp up training camp preseason, 18 games.
That's a lot of football.
That's a lot of football.
20 weeks. Because let me say, I'm praying 20 weeks, because you got to get a second bye in there at some point now.
Yeah, for sure.
18 games is crazy if you're doing a single bye.
Yeah. So is it really the proposal? Is it really better than the original format?
I guess it's
18th game. You know what I'm saying? You got to take out the 18th game because it hasn't happened.
I guess here's maybe the argument, right? And I don't know how an 18th game would work if you're taking away another preseason game and you're just going straight in, or if you're just adding a game one. Either way, though, and this is just me, again, playing devil's advocate. You're playing more real football throughout the year. Would that have your body more prepared, even though you're going through that 4 to 5 months off, depending on, you know, where you get put up? Listen, some teams gonna have a solid full 5 months off because you're gonna be a bad football team. And
but the guys, like when you break OTAs and minicamp, you have that 6 weeks off, right?
Yeah,
guys will, you know, they'll take a vacation to get away for like a week, but then they're back working, because you know, coming up, my body's got to be at peak performance during training camp, especially the guys that are on the bubble of making a roster.
Yeah.
It ain't a vacation. It's time to make sure that I'm prepared to go out there and earn a roster spot. You see what I'm saying? And so you're not taking that time off, that 6 weeks off. You're still working. Like I said, though, that's when you're working with your own trainer or your own facility, or, you know, you're doing things. I used to box a lot and do football stuff. You know what I mean? Like you're doing whatever you're doing is your recipe for success. That's what you're doing during that 6 weeks. You're going to take some time off. You're going to get a vacation in there, but it's not going to be a 6 weeks vacation. It's going to be, you know, a vacation to get to clear your mind for mini camp and OTAs. And then I got to get back and get to work to make sure that when I show up, one, I got to pass a running test if that team has it. And two, I got to be ready to go out and perform each and every day in training camp.
Right. Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. I love getting the player perspective on that, because for me, I'm just like, this don't make no sense. The player safety aspect of it, all of that. Let's see it get implemented. I love that they throw that in on everything now, because that's the way to push stuff through. I mean, listen, This is going to be a it's going to be interesting to see some of the changes. I'll tell you what, I was talking about this yesterday too. It's going to be tough to get some content going if we got 5 months of literally. You know what I mean, we got, it's going to be draft and then figure it out. Yeah, you know I mean? Like,
for real,
we got the draft. We got rookie mini camp.
Man, imagine all the rankings that's going to come out at a man like. It's gonna be.
I also, what cracked me up was I was like, all the rankings is gonna come out as hilarious, bro. Let's rank individually each DB in the NFL.
Let's rank team swag. This team has overall best swag, best uniform loadout. Like, it's gonna be crazy, man. Like,
it's gonna get wild. I think what's funny to me is though, like we were talking about this yesterday on the Breeze. The NFL just said, forget all the other leagues. We're just gonna take everything. Like Christmas, hey, that's ours now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if this goes through and plays out and you end up with 18 games and all that, you're playing till the end of February.
Yeah. Yeah.
March Madness, all them Cinderella stories, we ain't talking about none of that.
Yeah, and the thing about it is too, like these rankings and stuff like that, like we talked about when we first started the pod. Games played on grass, not on paper. You know what I mean? I don't care. Me personally, as a player, like and now an analyst and you know, covering the Bears, I don't care where the hell they got us ranked on paper. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? We could be, even if we were ranked number one, I still would be, oh, number one, we're gonna win the NFC North. We're going to go like no. It'd be a lot of question marks too. You know what I'm saying? Like it wouldn't. I'm not one of them homers. It's gonna be like, oh, we're doing this now.
They got Detroit ranked sixth, and I'm like, yeah. They might have missed that window, dog. I don't know. Like they still a good team, but
it does. None of this matters, honestly. Like none of the rankings on paper matter. Like it's good. I think it's good because it gives us an opportunity to die. Like we're so very heavy as we should be.
Yeah.
But it gives us a chance to see what other teams have and what somebody else's outside view is of what we have compared to what we've done in the offseason, compared to what they've done. It's cool for right now. It's cool. But at the end of the day, when that ball's kicked off and, you know, what the end result is on that scoreboard, that's what matters. This is a results-based business. The coach can't, you know, you can't have a terrible record. But we were ranked seventh in roster. The GM can't, Ryan Poles can't say, oh, well, we improved our roster. No, but you didn't go to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, I'll tell you what.
That's even worse.
If we finish this season ranked 20th, that's where it's more concerning. Yeah, you know,
like, I mean, if I'm the McCaskey, I'm looking at Ryan Poles like, you mean to tell me Ebron and Keenan Allen? Another year with Montez Sweat. We got a third year in this defense. You bring in some guys. You extend Jalen Johnson. You bring in DeAndre Swift. And we still didn't go to the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Yeah, you know what I mean? Their Bears fans are going to be going crazy. What do we got to do? We got Caleb. We got Keenan. Oh, we got DeAndre. Dog. We still can't win an NFC North. Like, it's the results.
Hey, Bears fans are going to be losing their minds. I'm going to be making more skits. I don't know if you've seen the skits I got going with all the Bear fan reactions. I'm going to be making a bunch of those, dog, because this season's going to be great. It's going to be so much good to talk about. And listen, it's going to be good. What it's going to be good for the good or it's going to be good for the bad? Because if you come into this season after all the moves you made last season and we sitting here having the same conversation, woo!
Yeah, we're gonna claim the good. We're claiming it right now, man.
Let's claim the good. I want that. That was about to be crazy. Never mind. Appreciate y'all tuning in and showing love. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. Leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. We'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we're doing a little flip flop because we've got training camp this Friday. So we'll be at training camp Friday. Breaking down everything that's going on, or I should say OTAs on Friday.
Yeah, I was like, breaking down camp, everything. Did I miss some?
Yeah, no, we did not move up training camp, Jamie. J-Mac, that's the other part of the offseason program you missed.
Jeremy, man, I'm about to look like, damn, that's great.
We got OTAs Friday with media availability, so I'll be with Courtney on Friday. Tomorrow, me and the good kid breaking down everything going on around the Chicago Bears, and who knows with Yurko? You're going to get some great conversation. That's all you know. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. For Jason McKee, your boy, Pat the Designer. Bed down. Peace.